This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. With another hour of Golden Age entertainment, this is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We're going to start off this week with a series we've not heard before, a little Western theme. It's titled Fort Laramie. We'll hear the audition episode from July 25th, 1955. Then it's a quick Incredible But True and Nemesis on the Left before a Cavalcade of America. And we continue our Western theme with this one, Story of the Texas Rangers from March 6th, 1939.
At a walk.
Fort Laramie. Starring John Daner as Captain Lee Quince. Tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Course.
Yes, sir.
Pass the word to dismount and unsaddle.
All right, Captain.
I'm going up on that little knoll. Maybe I can see Mr. Seibert's party from there.
I'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Dismount and unsaddle. Fingrays water. Dismount and unsaddle. Fingrays water. All right. You unfit that mount for you grazing this time.
Sure, Sergeant. I was just going.
Well, you do it, then. This mount on saddle, grazing water.
We can make camp here, boat right there at water.
Yeah. We could go hunting and fishing, too. Maybe bake some bread.
If you don't like the Army, why didn't you stay in Louisville?
I was starving there, too. But at least in Louisville, I never had no Indians after my scalp.
You afraid of Indians, Bull Ride?
Sure. But I'm going to get me one. I got to get me an Indian.
Why?
Then I won't be scared no more.
Well, at least you're not in the stockade.
And that's just because Captain Quince needs me. The troop's supposed to have 83 privates full strength. I swear we're down to 60. Yeah, he needs me worse than I need him.
What's the matter, Boatwright?
Oh, nothing, Captain. Everything's fine. I like it out here.
You better like it.
Oh, sure beats sitting around in stockade, sir.
Last time you were in the stockade, did you just sit around?
Well, no. No, but at least I didn't ride no horse out after Indians with an understrength troop.
You'll never make a garrison soldier, Boatwright.
Oh, I like the Army, sir.
Captain Quince?
What did you find, Mr. Seibert's?
We rode over there, sir, where the smoke was. There's a homestead, Captain. Sue.
Sue?
Well,
that's
hey,
enough, Boatwright.
Yes, sir.
Did they leave anybody there, Mr. Seibert's?
The man's still alive, sir. Corporal Mercer's with him. But the woman and the little girl, they're dead.
I see. What does the man say?
Nothing, sir. He's got no tongue.
Take charge of the troop, Mr. Seibert's. Sergeant Gorse and I'll ride over there.
Yes, sir. And, Captain, take a look at this.
Where'd you pick it up?
Sue. The only Indian the man killed before they got him.
Mr. Seibert's, that's a Henry rifle, latest model. If the Indians have gotten their hands on guns like that, let's move out, Sergeant.
Yeah.
How is he, Corporal?
Is he bad, sir? They burned him some, too, but he's still conscious. There is a slow way to die.
100 miles to Fort Laramie, Captain.
He'll never live that long. Sergeant, give me your revolver. You and Corporal Mercer start back. I'll catch up with you.
Yes, sir. Move out, Mercer.
Think we'll go after them, Sioux, Gorse?
I'm a first sergeant, not a captain.
Well, I know, but you and Quince run this troop.
He's Captain Quince to you.
Sure.
And he runs this troop.
Sure.
Everything all right, Captain?
Everything's all right, Sergeant.
What's that?
Shut up and keep riding, Corporal.
Well, what are you so hard?
No, shut up, I said.
Oh, sure.
Sergeant.
Sir?
When we get back, fall in a burial party.
Yes, sir.
See that those graves are cairned.
Yes, sir.
One other thing, Sergeant. Don't forget your revolver. That homesteader doesn't need it anymore. Captain Quince reporting, sir.
Captain, I know you're mad because I ordered you back from chasing those Sioux last week.
You didn't see what they did to that Homestead family, Major.
I've seen their work before, Quince.
There'll be more of it if we don't stop them.
10 miles from this post, there's a reservation of 4,000 Sioux. An uprising there would be far more serious than your little band that's marauding under Yellowknife.
You have enough troops to patrol the reservation, Major, and still secure Fort Laramie here. Give me just half of B Troop, and I'll run down Yellowknife and his renegades.
My orders are to keep a constant watch on the reservation and to secure Fort Laramie with all remaining troops.
Yellowknife is being supplied with rifles, Henry 44s.
I know.
Those are repeating rifles, Major.
I've reported this to Washington, Captain.
Whoever is smuggling those rifles has got to be stopped, or every brave on the reservation will join Yellowknife. In spite of your patrols.
I've received no change of orders, Captain.
We can't afford to wait, sir. Give me Sergeant Gorse and 3 men, and I'll at least find that gunrunner. I'll leave tonight, Major.
You will not leave.
Is that a direct order?
It is.
Am I interrupting, Uncle Ned?
Oh, come in, my dear, come in. My niece, Captain, Miss Terry Lawson. This is Captain Quince, Terry.
How do you do, Captain?
Ma'am.
Miss Lawson arrived while you were away, Captain. She's going to keep house for me if she doesn't change her mind about Army life.
Are you coming to the dance tonight, Captain Quince?
Dance?
Haven't you heard?
I decided to hold a dance tonight, Captain, for such officers as are available and for a few civilians from Laramie. It'll show the Sioux we aren't as frightened as they might think we are.
I see.
You're coming, Captain?
Do you think Washington can spare me for a dance, Major?
Washington?
Inactivity is a hard burden for the captain, Terry.
Oh.
But I'd suggest the captain be at the dance tonight.
Good day, miss. Major. Quince reporting his order, Major.
You make it difficult, Captain. You remember my niece, Miss Lawson.
Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Captain. But it's Miss, not ma'am, if you please.
Sorry, Miss.
Wanted everyone possible to be here, Captain. For the sake of morale, you know.
Yes, sir.
A lot of the townspeople are here. Oh, there's Lieutenant Mapleton. Would you escort Miss Lawson, Captain? Excuse me.
Oh, Mapleton.
My arm.
Thank you, Captain. You weren't in the war with Uncle Ned, were you?
No. I started out as a scout for General McClellan just before Lee ran him away from Richmond.
And you became an officer afterwards?
I was commissioned in the field, Miss Lawson. President Lincoln was mighty short of officers by 65. They needed officers, and I made a good one.
Captain, Uncle Ned says you know more about the Sioux than anyone at Fort Laramie. Do you think the rest of the reservation will make trouble?
I don't know, miss. I haven't been out there.
You mean you could tell just by going out there?
Wild Dog's an old friend of mine.
Who's Wild Dog?
He's a chief. He's about 80, but he's pretty smart.
Captain Quince, if those Sioux did rise, would they attack the fort here?
Hard to say. If there's 4,000 of them and only 400 of us. Shall we go back?
Oh,
Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir?
Until I return in the morning, you'll act in command of B Troop. I'm taking Sergeant Gorse with me. Any questions?
No, sir.
Then escort Miss Lawson back to the Major. You'll excuse me, miss?
You're going to see Wild Dog, aren't you?
Yes.
Isn't it pretty dangerous, Captain? Two of you walking right in among all those Sioux?
We'll try to reach Wild Dog first.
But, Captain...
Good night, Miss Lawson.
You are listening to Fort Laramie, starring John Daner as Captain Lee Quince.
Drop your gun belt across your saddle, Sergeant.
Mean that, Captain?
Revolver wouldn't do you much good if these Sioux decide they want us. We're safer unarmed.
All right, sir.
Let's move out.
Wished I had at least a bowie knife.
It's late. Most of them are asleep.
4,000 Sioux in this camp, they ain't all asleep.
No. We're being watched, all right.
Yeah. Some young buck could get himself his first coup feather by spearing us.
You wouldn't want to stand in the way of a man becoming a brave, would you, Sergeant?
Captain, we're being stopped.
I see him. Keep walking.
Only one brave, we can handle him.
Leave him to me, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
The ole
Wild Dog, nya.
Is the ahi.
Il yazo valu. The azo. Let's move, Sergeant. We'll keep an eye on him.
Still just standing there, sir.
I told him I'm a friend of Wild Dog's. Luckily, he's from the same clan.
What clan is that, Captain?
White Fox. There it is.
Huh?
See that medicine pole over there?
With the white skin on it?
That's Wild Dog's lodge. Wait out here, Sergeant. Oyo, Liozia.
Nice, Liozo. Come in, my son. Sit down.
It's been a long time since we've talked, Wild Dog.
A long time. And you come now because of Yellow Knife.
Yellow Knife is leading your young men into war with my people.
Sioux always been warriors. It is good to die in battle. Sioux now have white man's rifles that shoot many times.
And you know about the rifles?
I know. Soon every brave on reservation will know, and they will leave. guard of soldiers make no difference.
It'll lead to war, Wild Dog. Big war.
There are many clans among the Sioux. I am chief only of White Fox.
What clan is Yellowknife?
Yellowknife is of Two Moon Clan.
But there are White Fox braves with him?
Yeah. I cannot stop them. I remember what it was like when I was young.
It was different when you were young, Wild Dog. You had a chance then, but now they have no chance.
They have many rifles.
They have a few, Wild Dog. But the white man, the cavalry, has thousands of rifles. In the end, the Sioux cannot win. He must live in peace or he will be wiped out. You're a wise man. You know this is true.
Yes. You are right.
Yellowknife and his braves will be caught and punished. Some of them will die. But if I don't stop his supply of rifles, many more of your people will die.
You want to know where rifles come from?
Tell me where Yellowknife meets the white man who's supplying them. I'll do the rest. You'll be saving lives, Wild Dog. Sioux lives.
For the sake of my people, I tell you, place north of here, place you call Bright Canyon.
Bright Canyon. When it's over, I'll come back and we'll smoke the pipe.
If you come back.
If I come back. Captain Quince reporting, sir.
I hear you left the post last night, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Well, you never were much of a garrison soldier, were you?
No, sir.
You saw your friend Wild Dog, I suppose?
Yes, sir.
Well, Captain, I have new orders from Washington this morning.
Yes, sir.
As you know, I reported the matter of Yellowknife being supplied with Henry 44s.
You mean I can run him down, Major?
No. My orders to patrol the reservation and to secure Fort Laramie still stand. We are not to go after Yellowknife. But the importance of the Henry Rifles is recognized, and we're to put a stop to it.
Yes, sir.
Can you do it?
I can.
All right, take half of B Troop only. You may have Sergeant Gorse and Lieutenant Syverts and two corporals of your own choosing.
Right, sir.
Pass the head of your column through the main gates of the post 1/2 hour before Reveille tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
And remember, Captain Quince, your orders are to stop that gun smuggler, not to run down Yellowknife. And if you get into trouble, there'll be no reinforcement. Are there any questions?
No, sir.
Then move out.
Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir?
Ride out here with me and take a look at these tracks.
Well, one shot pony. Rest of them's mules, Captain.
And they're not Indians, are they?
No, sir.
And they're headed straight for the rim of that canyon ahead.
Bright Canyon, Captain.
Wild Dog wasn't lying. Take 5 men and ride out ahead of Corporal Mercer's point. Make a reconnaissance of the north rim. If it's clear, send a runner back.
Yes, sir.
Tell the point to swing north and to dismount in the cover of those trees below the crest.
Right, sir.
Move out.
Yeah.
Mr. Seibert!
Yes, Captain.
I think we've found our man, Mr. Syverts. He'll be in that canyon up ahead. Sergeant Gorse is scouting the north rim of the canyon. If it's clear, we'll hide in those trees just below it. Then we'll wait.
Wait for what, sir?
We'll catch him in the act, Mr. Syverts, when Yellowknife comes for his rifles.
Captain, you said Major Honeyman's orders are to get the gun smuggler and leave Yellowknife alone. If you do it this way, there'll be a fight.
We're in the field, Mr. Syberts. I'll be responsible for my orders.
Yes, sir.
Not my fault if Yellowknife gets in the way when we move in on that gun smuggler.
No, sir.
Syberts, pass the word to space out and stagger the odd files to the left. We're raising too much dust.
Hey, boat ride.
What are you doing over here, Vickers?
Go on back to your post. Oh, there's nothing happening down there in the valley. He's some gun smuggler. Just sits around in his cabin. What's the matter with Captain Quince, anyway? Half a troop against one man, and we hide around watching him for 2 days.
You can't figure nothing, Vickers. We're waiting for Yellowknife.
Them Sioux? You mean we're going to fight them?
As soon as they show up.
You scared, Boatwright?
All I need is to kill me an Indian. Then I won't be scared no more.
Yeah, me too. I think.
Who's throwing that rock?
It's Gorson, the captain.
Well, get on down there. He's signaling to you.
Oh, I'll catch it now.
She's going away from your post, Vickers.
I couldn't see nothing where I was. I was wondering if Boatwright could, Sergeant.
You can be shot for leaving your post at a time like this, Vickers.
Yes, sir, Captain.
You're risking the life of every man in this troop. Get back to where you belong.
Yes, sir,
Captain. Boatwright wants us.
Come on.
The end of the canyon, sir. Look, there they come.
Yellowknife.
How many braves you figure he's got with him, Gores?
Hard to say yet, sir. Maybe 30.
They got a bunch of horses, too.
That's to pay for the rifles.
Captain, I can see more than 30 Sioux down there. They must be nigh out of 40.
There. There's that dirty gunrunner now. Out talking with Yellowknife.
I wish we had the whole of B troop here, sir.
Sergeant.
Yes, sir?
Take Boatwright and move about 300 yards west of here. When you're ready, I want you to ride straight down into the canyon.
What?
Shut up, Boatwright.
Your orders are to find out if they're really trading for guns down there.
But, Captain,
you... If you run into any trouble, I'll have to help you out of it, that's all.
I understand, sir. Come on, Boatwright, let's move out.
Well, if all the crates...
Shut up, like I told you.
Tell Mr. Syberts there I want to see him.
Right, sir.
You wanted me, Captain?
Mr. Syberts, I think those Sioux down there are trading for Henry rifles. Sergeant Gorse and Boatwright are going to ride down and find out.
You mean they're going alone, sir?
They are. There'd sure be a fight if we appeared in force. Might even look like I was trying to run Yellowknife down.
But they'll be killed, sir.
Well, I can't let that happen. If they're attacked, we'll just have to ride in. It'll be a rescue mission, Mr. Syberts.
I understand, Captain.
Get back to the troop and pass the word to saddle and mount. Space out to 60 paces between mounts. It'll make us look full strength. Move out.
Troops ready, Captain.
Just in time. There go Gorson, Boatwright.
They'll be seen any minute, sir.
Yeah. Let's get back. Get mounted, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir.
Help! 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 Help!
man go? He wasn't with them up there.
I've never seen him, Captain.
Then he must be in the cabin here. I'm going in after him.
I'll go with you, sir.
Oh, no, you stay with the troop. They've chased them far enough. Get those stolen horses rounded up.
Right, sir. Here.
You're all through, mister. Come out of there.
No. He ain't gonna hang me.
Come out with your hands up and you'll get a trial.
Hanging's bad. I ain't gonna hang.
Your choice, mister. Come out or I'll kill you right there.
I'll take my chances.
Suits me.
Captain, but we killed some of them.
What about Yellowknife?
He's dead. Right over there, sir. Private Boatwright killed him.
Is that Boatwright flying over there, too, Mr. Syberts?
I'm afraid so, sir. He took a bullet after he got Yellowknife.
Sergeant Gorse has some men rounding up the horses, Mr. Syberts. Reform the rest of the troop and take care of the wounded. Pick out 6 men for a burial party.
Yes, sir.
Corporal Mercer! Over here!
Hello, Boatwright.
Captain, sir.
What can I do for you?
Nothing, Captain. I'm all shut up. There's nothing anybody can do.
That was Yellowknife you killed, Boatwright.
I always wanted to get me in you, Captain. But I sure never figured it'd be yelling, right?
You did fine, Boatwright.
Here. Here's something I took off yelling, right? You keep it for me. You know what it is.
Yeah, sure do.
I feel all wet. Inside, yeah.
I'm sorry, Boatwright.
It's all right. I ain't scared.
Of course not.
Tell them all goodbye for me, Captain. All of them.
I've just finished going over your report, Captain.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not sure on reading it whether you deliberately disobeyed orders or not. Would you care to clarify that point?
Major Honeyman, did you ever see one of these?
That's a scalp.
Private Boatwright took it off Yellowknife, Major. It's a woman's scalp. Young woman.
Get rid of it.
Yes.
Captain Quince, I'm reporting to Washington that the gun smuggler's been destroyed, but that you were attacked by Yellowknife during the operation and were forced to defend yourself.
Thank you, Major.
That's all, Captain. Captain.
Yes, sir?
Miss Lawson wanted me to ask if you'd care to have supper with us.
My compliments to Miss Lawson, sir. I'll be there.
One more thing. In regard to your recommendation for a posthumous medal for a Private Boatwright.
Yes, sir.
Washington might question a report that recommended an honor for one of the soldiers who actually brought on Yellowknife's attack. For the good of the troop, I'd suggest...
That's all right, Major. Boatwright would understand. He was a real soldier. A line soldier.
Thank you, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Was written by John Meston with music by Rex Corey and was produced by Norman McDonald. Join us next week for another drama of the early frontier and of the brave men who fought under Captain Lee Quince, United States Cavalry. In cases of accidental death, the greatest tragedy always lies in the fact that the disaster might have been avoided. But there is on record the story of one survivor who could, with justification, disclaim responsibility. For after all, how can you prevent a tragedy which has been willed by a mysterious and powerful and invisible force?
It was an ideal day for an outing, that May 3rd, 1933. The skies were serene and cloudless, and if Nemesis, the goddess of punishment and destruction, rode the gentle zephyrs, she did not make her presence known. Certainly not to young William Ference and Beatrice Villis of Blenheim Road, Clapham, London. They had set out early in the morning for their favorite spot in the country, beyond Tunbridge Wells. And as their open roadster skimmed smoothly over the highway, they were blithely unaware of the danger that hovered about them.
Oh, dear, you're crazy.
You suggested this picnic, you know.
But what's the matter with picnics?
Nobody enjoys them but the insects. Oh.
What's the matter, Bill?
Didn't you feel that?
You mean the way the car swerved? Well, I thought you did it. I thought you were trying to avoid a bump in the road.
I didn't turn the wheel at all.
Huh? We're going straight now.
Yes. Oh, well, I suppose it was nothing serious. I pity anyone who...
Oh, Bill, look out! Oh, Bill, we almost went over into that culvert.
I can't understand it. I don't know what caused it.
Well, there must be something the matter with the car.
But it wasn't like that at all. It was almost as if... Well, as if somebody had pushed us.
William Ference climbed out of the driver's seat to examine the car. When he returned to his place behind the wheel, there was a look of fear and perplexity in his eyes.
There's nothing wrong with the car, B.
Then what?
I haven't any idea what. I tell you, we were pushed across that road.
Oh, Bill, that's absurd. Now, come on, let's get going.
Without a word, William Ference stepped on the starter, meshed the gears, and the car edged forward. He drove slowly, cautiously, his eyes pinned on the road ahead, his hands tense around the wheel. For almost 5 minutes, they crept along the highway. And then suddenly...
Bill, we're on the wrong side of the road again. Turn your wheels, Bill.
I am turning them. It doesn't do any good.
Well, stop the car. We're almost at the edge. Bill, stop it.
It won't stop me. The brake's all the way down to the floor.
But you've got to stop it. We're going on.
A few seconds later, when William Ference recovered consciousness, the car lay overturned at the foot of an embankment, and pinned beneath it was the lifeless body of Beatrice Villis. Perhaps in that terrible moment, Ference blamed himself for her death. But it was not he who had killed his companion, for a thorough investigation failed to disclose any defect in either the brakes or the steering mechanism. It was a mysterious and invisible force that was in control of his car at the instant it left the road. A force incredible but true.
The Cavalcade of America, presented by DuPont.
most important chapters in the history of America is the thrilling, romantic saga of those hard-bitten men who rode the great ranges along the Texas frontiers. In a land of canebrakes, mountains, and prairies came first the Tejas Indians and finally the white man. And as Texas became enriched with lives and progress, greed and outlawry menaced its people. And through necessity, the Texas Rangers were organized over a century ago. The heroic age of the Ranger has vanished. But in the development of our largest state, he brought the vital contribution of justice and peace. As our overture, Don Voorhees and the DuPont Cavalcade Orchestra play the Ranger's song from Rio Rita. United States of America, the only state once recognized by the powers of the world as of independent sovereignty, was the Republic of Texas. For in the year 1837, Texas was a nation, its president Sam Houston. To this vast inland territory came the Spanish, the French, and finally the Americans, and a great and colorful civilization was built. A civilization which led to the admission of Texas into the Union of 1845. A civilization subsequently threatened by lawlessness and terror. The era which saw the coming of the Texas Rangers. And tonight our story is about one of them, Tom Dawson. And in the career of Tom Dawson is presented the story of the Texas Rangers. It begins at twilight at a lonely ranch house in western Texas.
Supper! Supper! Supper's ready!
Dad and Ned are coming right up, Ma.
Well, I'd better hurry up. Supper'll spoil if you don't.
Well, leave me to it. Boy, I'm hungry. What's cooking, Ma?
Two rabbits. So, Tom, what do you got there?
Blue bonnets. Pick them up for you.
Oh, Tom. Yeah. They're the prettiest I've seen this spring. Where'd you find them?
Down by the creek away.
Oh, Tom, that was real sweet of you. But you should have saved them for Betty.
No, I picked them up for you. Ma, you like Betty, don't you?
Yes, son, a lot.
Don't you think that Betty and I could,
You're riding over to their ranch after supper, ain't you?
Yeah, Ma.
You're my baby, Tom. I almost lost you. Not afraid to now.
Well, you're not going to lose me, Ma. Betty and I will build our own house right up there in the North 40. Pa said we could.
I'd better put these blue bonnets in water.
Ma.
Yes?
Thanks. Can I help you with supper?
No, no, everything's ready. Here's your pa and Ned now. Yeah. Say, you two, didn't you hear me ringing that bell?
Oh, stop to see Frank Clayton down the road a piece, Lottie.
Yeah. Says he and Mrs. Clayton can't do a thing with Betty. She's been learning to cook lately. They don't exactly relish her practicing up on meals for them. How's your appetite, Tom?
Now, you listen here.
Oh, let Tom alone, Ned. All of you wash up or you won't get any supper.
Yeah, I reckon we're better, boys.
All right.
What did Frank really have to say, Milt? Any gossip I ought to know?
Well, he says he heard those cutthroat bandits and rustlers that stole Joe Fisher's herd up north are supposed to be heading for this neighborhood.
Huh?
I sure wish there was some way we could run them clear out of Texas in short order. Believe me, I'd do something about it if I were younger.
We'll handle them if they try anything around here, all right.
Oh, I've heard that before, too. Doesn't seem to stop them, does it? Only last month.
Come on. Sit down and eat your supper.
I've
been waiting long enough already. And stop talking about trouble for a change. Let's be happy when we're all together like this.
All right, Lottie. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy merciful love.
Later that evening, young Tom Dawson mounted his horse and cantered away. Underneath loblolly pines and scrub oak, the rider passed. Overhead were the glittering stars. Around him, the quiet mystery of the prairie night. One by one, the lights blinked out in the ranch houses along the trail. And while their son rode silently across the plains, Milt Dawson and his wife lay sleeping.
Milt, wake up. It's Tom. He's back.
Oh, Tom. Oh. All right, buddy. I'll let him in.
Tom, what's the matter? Look here, boy. What's up?
What is it, son?
Then burned the Clayton Ranch.
Betty?
Yeah, Mom. Everybody.
The tragedy that struck young Tom Dawson was an isolated expression of the violence and brigandry that threatened the development of Texas. Finally, the people who were trying to live decent, useful lives clamored in protest, and their voices were heard in the state capitol at Austin. Then one day at the Dawson Ranch House...
Anybody home in there? Sure. Come on in, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim. Got great news, Milt.
Yeah?
The governor's organizing the Texas Rangers again.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah, we're going to chase these bandits right off the map.
Texas Rangers reorganizing, eh?
Yep. A fella named Captain McNelly is gathering the force along the border. They're going to need a lot of men.
I'm going, Pa.
So am I.
Well, I can't spare the two of you, but we'll settle that later. You boys help Jim take care of his horse first. You've got to stay for your supper, Jim.
We'd love to have you, Jim.
Oh, sure will, Milt. Be right back after get my horse fit. Come on, boy.
Well, we can go out the back way.
Milt.
Yeah, Lottie?
You used to be a Texas Ranger in the old days. You going to let our boys go and join up with them?
Not both of them, Lottie. Not Ned. Tom's the one. He'll make a great Ranger.
Well, he's so young, Milt.
No, it isn't just a matter of age, Lottie, being a Texas Ranger. It's having the head to think straight. Being three jumps ahead of danger.
Well, and Tom's the one, Milt.
We'll miss him, Lottie.
Yes, you're right.
Well, I'm kind of glad it's getting around springtime again. Saw some jackrabbits today. Antelope, too. Everything's getting so green and pretty outside, Lottie. And those blue bonnets down by the creek, why, say, there must be thousands of them. You know, I can remember a wave.
I guess I'd better put the kettle on.
All over Texas, men were joining the new organization, the Texas Rangers. And young Tom Dawson left his father's ranch and set off to find Captain McNelly and his rangers on the border. Late one afternoon, as the glow of sunset drains from a deep valley, he rides into camp.
Howdy, stranger. Where are you heading for?
I'm looking for Captain McNally.
Well, you're in the right place. Hey, Captain. Captain McNally.
What's up?
Fella here looking for you.
Run over. Well, son, what can I do for you?
I'm Tom Dawson, Milt Dawson's son. I'd like to join the Rangers, sir. Got a letter here to you from my father.
Yeah, you look like your dad, all right. I guess we can use you. Got a good horse?
Yes, sir. Ain't a better one anywhere than my Smokey. Just brought me 400 miles since Wednesday.
Oh, that's fine.
I got my frying pan and some blankets and a sack of corn.
You're all fixed up, ain't you? How old are you?
I'll be 21 for long.
And we won't say how long. Come on over to the campfire and meet the boys. I suppose you can use a little food, can't you?
I sure can, sir.
Well, we got a worse job right now on our hands than your dad ever faced. Cattle thieves running herds over the border by the hundreds. You'll see some tough fighting.
That's what I'm hoping for, Captain.
Boys, it's Tom Dawson. Father was a ranger before him. Make a plate for him around the fire.
Sure. Sit down. Make yourself at home, Tom. Fix that meat this way, Pete. Boy's hungry. Run into anything exciting riding down?
Plenty of signs where folks had some trouble. I didn't stop long on the way.
Phyllis?
Come on, boys. Let's get the horses.
Wait. Somebody's coming.
I didn't see anybody on my way down here.
Bill! Captain McNally?
Here. What is it?
Sam Bass. You rustled 300 head of Longhorns across the Rio Grande.
Sam Bass again. Worst outlaw in the state. It's about time we got him. Go get him, boys.
Out of the valley thundered the hard-riding Texas Rangers, scattering to surround Sam Bass and his outlaw band. Gradually, darkness falls over the Rio Grande, and on a small knoll crouch young Tom Dawson and one of the other Rangers.
Joe. Did you hear that?
Just a Kyle.
No, I don't mean that. I swear I heard something else.
You scared?
No, I'm all right.
Say, you're right, kid. That must be the rustlers now.
Yeah.
I'd have to come right through this pass.
Look, down there. Somebody struck a flint.
Yeah. Here they come. Ready?
What are you going to do?
Crawl up behind that bush. Be ready in case they shoot.
All right. Good luck.
Quiet now. Quiet.
Joe! Don't run!
Yeah. Bass got away. I heard him yelling. He's the one that plugged me. You're a good shot, kid.
You hurt, Joe?
Yeah.
I can lift you on your horse. We will get back to camp.
Huh? No. You go along.
I'll stay with you,
no,
Joe.
No, keep going. Get Bass.
Joe! All right, Smokey. Get! Come on! Get!
Tom Dawson galloped off and joined the other Rangers in search of Sam Bass. Finally, they succeeded in destroying the cattle thieves' stronghold and recovered the stolen herds. But the outlaw Sam Bass still eluded them. And as the months passed, Tom Dawson in his life as a Texas Ranger often rode alone. There were interesting and varied experiences. Like all Rangers, Tom kept always before him the Ranger ideal, to protect the weak and to enforce common justice. He never rode by a lone shack without stopping to see that its owner was all right. One day he dismounted a lonely cabin in the Guadalupe Mountains.
Come in.
Howdy, ma'am. Everything all right here?
Oh, I'm so thankful it came by. I don't know what to do.
Well, what's the matter, ma'am?
I can't find my little girl anyplace. She went outside to play with the dog. I can't find her.
How long she been gone, ma'am?
I don't know. See, I fell asleep and Katie must have strayed then. She's only 3 and a half. I'm afraid of Rattler.
Oh, I reckon she's all right. You say she had a dog along with her?
Yeah, I'm sure he'd follow her. He's a collie.
Well, now, you just rest easy here. I'll go hunt him up. Don't you worry. Hey, drink some of that tea there. Do you good.
I can't stand it. It'll choke me. I can't until I know my baby's safe.
Over. Quiet, Smokey. Listen. No. That's no baby. Come on, let's go. All right, Smokey. The barn locator, she hasn't met up with a bear or something. Oh,
Oh, boy. Maybe this will fetch you, huh? You hear that? We'll be on that rock ridge. Must have lost your way in the rain this morning. Come on, boy. Get to it. Come on. Get. Oh, hold up, boy. Oh. Katie. Katie. Come on. Get to it. All right, boy. Oh.
Well, doggone it, honey. Where'd you think you were going?
The baby was rescued and returned to her family. And as time went on, the rangers swarmed into every valley, galloped across the prairies, and up into the mountains of Texas in their determination to rid the land of outlaws and violence. Tom Dawson rode with them. While in the little ranch house of his father, they naturally began to wonder at not hearing from him. Then one day...
Come on in. Howdy, Milt.
Well, hello, Jim. Got a letter from Tom for you.
Yeah. Hi, Lottie. Letter from Tom.
Well, is he all right?
Well, I ain't read it yet. Let's see. Yeah, sure, he's all right. He's up with Major Jones' frontier outfit, he says.
Jones is a fine man.
Yeah.
Well, I don't suppose he'll be coming home for a while yet, will he?
There's plenty of work to be done still up in that end of the state. Don't think Tom can get away yet, Lottie.
Say, you heard about the book that Jones has got out? Names over 5,000 outlaws still at large.
My.
1,500 wanted for murder. 2,500 listed for cattle rustling. Ain't that a pretty record?
Yeah, it sure is bad.
Does Tom say anything about the muffler I knit for him, Mill?
Yeah, right up here at the top of the letter, he says, tell Mom thanks for the muffler. It sure keeps me warm.
Oh.
I heard him talking today all about Sam Bass, the outlaw. He's the ringleader. Pulled off 4 big train robberies in less than a month.
Yeah, Tom says here he's going with Jones after Sam Bass. Things would clean up fast, they'd get rid of that rattlesnake.
Yeah, but, well, it's mighty dangerous for the boy if he's tangling with Sam Bass.
I'll come back later, Mill.
What's the matter with Lottie?
Talking about danger to Tom sort of upsets her.
Oh.
Me too, I guess. We ain't seen Tom in over a year.
Meanwhile, in the little prairie town of Round Rock, at high noon, some cowboys are sitting around the local barber shop.
Was he made him old, but at the age of 17, Sam Bass began to roam.
Yes, sir. I like that song with Elf.
Well, I'll tell you, boys, they won't none of them ever get Sam Bass.
They say he's up around this country somewhere.
Worse luck, I say. It's all right, they'll never get him. He's too smart. How do you want this beard trimmed, Buck?
Well, leave it as it is. He's had a hard enough time getting it that far.
You trim it fancy, Charlie. Don't let them shears slip. Who's riding in, Slim?
Looks like one of them kid rangers.
Wonder what he's doing in town.
Well, maybe he's looking for you, Charlie.
Yeah, right.
Sam Bass was born in Indiana. It was his native home. And at the age of 17, Sam Bass began to roam.
Well, that finishes you, cowboy. You're next, ranger. Shave or haircut?
Shave. Make it fast.
Yes, sir. If you might have done a pile of riding today.
Yeah, I did a little.
Uh-huh. Stranger in Round Rock?
Just passing through.
You heard anything new on Sam Bass?
No, I ain't.
They say you rangers are up here after him.
So? Think we'll get him?
Well, you rangers are smart, but I figure Sam Bass is smarter.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
There's a couple of tough customers.
Yeah. All right, you hombres. Out of my way.
Wait a minute, I might have cut you.
Let me out of here.
Come on, get out of my way. Duck boys, there's going to be a shooting. Holy smoke! That ranger sure quick on the trigger.
Come on, let's put it up.
Hey.
Well, that's that.
Say, who was that hombre?
Sam Bass.
Sam Bass?
All right. Let's have the rest of that shave.
Why, sure. Say, how about making up a last verse of that song about Sam Bass you was just singing?
Now Sam is a decaying corpse down in the Round Rock Lake. And Jackson's on the border trying to get away.
Sure got to hand it to you, ranger.
Oh, pray for the ranger, you kind-hearted stranger. He hasn't been home for a year. But he's chased the Comanches from all but your ranches and run all the outlaws clean off the frontier.
Eventually, the Rangers rounded up the whole Sam Bass band, and a great blow for law and order was struck in Texas. One by one, outlaw gangs were brought to justice or disappeared. And when peace and order were again restored in Texas, many of the Rangers were given leave to visit their homes. Tom Dawson was one. Naturally, there was great anticipation in his family.
Tom should have been home here 2 weeks ago from the time he said he was starting.
Oh, honey, you've been smelling trouble for 2 weeks. I tell you, he's all right. You just have to settle your mind in peace.
Anybody home in there?
Tom.
What?
Tom.
I told you.
Howdy, Ma.
Oh.
Howdy there, Pa.
Oh, son.
Tom. What's the matter with your arm, son?
Oh, that's all right, Ma. Run into a couple of horse thieves near Pop Loomis' place up country. One of them winged me a bit. Delayed me considerable.
You get them?
One of them.
I'll warm up some supper for you, dear.
Oh, great, Ma. Where's Ned?
Why, he's studying to be a lawyer down in Dallas.
Yeah?
Yeah. Always said he never had the makings of a ranger.
Say, what you got on the stove, Ma?
Just rabbit. Fix the way you like it.
Your Ma's been cooking dinner for you for 2 weeks. Most ate myself to death on rabbit. Yeah, we're sure glad to see you, son.
Believe me, Pa, it's great to be home. You know, I guess I've really been heading back here ever since I went away.
The outlaws vanished, law and order were established, and Texas built the great civilization that is hers today. About 1935, the Texas Rangers became a thing of the past by an official act of the legislature. And a group of old Rangers gathered to live over bygone days.
For a year, where you chase the Comanches from all of your ranches and run all the outlaws free off the frontier.
Oh, that's good, Tom. Yes, sir. We used to say a Texas Ranger had to ride like a Mexican, trail like an Indian, shoot like a Tennessean, and fight like the devil.
Old Bill McDonald had it right when he said a Ranger could charge the inferno with a bucket of water.
Hold it. Hold it just a minute, you boys.
Be quiet.
Boys, on this occasion, we have with us one of Texas' most distinguished citizens. He's going to talk to you a bit about old times. You all know him, Tom Dawson.
Hi there, everybody. Well, state police are riding flivvers instead of horses now. They don't need us anymore. I'd sure hate to find myself in one of them and one of those old trails you all know about. Give me my old horse, Smokey, anytime.
Yeah.
I only wish with all my heart tonight, right? While we're all sitting here, Colonel Jack Hayes could walk right in here with us and old Bill McCullough and Major Jones and Captain McNelly. Can't you just hear the little captain saying,
go get 'em, boys.
How about all the others, huh? Lee Hall, Baylor, Neville, and Bigfoot Wallace. You know, when folks talk about the Texas Rangers in years to come, you know they're not going to tell about how many bandits they hung or anything like that. They're going to tell about how the sight of one of you boys to a settler or a cattleman in trouble was like rain in the desert. You rode faster than the prairie wind. You rode through dust storms and blizzards. And at night you slept under a million stars. Yes, sir, boys, the Texas Rangers. Every man his own captain.
There were hundreds of Tom Dawsons, all Texas Rangers, and the Lone Star State will always be proud of them. Men of fearless courage and heroic purpose, who represent the very best traditions of the Southwest. The countless trails their horses rode will be covered, but never forgotten. The Texas Rangers will live on in legend, in song, and in the great memory of America. And now we have a story which is told by Basil Ruysdael, speaking for the DuPont Company. A story from the wonder world of chemistry.
Here's a headline that commands attention. Home Sweet Home is the most dangerous place in America. And the story behind this headline is one to astound everyone. Figures show that out of all fatal accidents, about one-third of them happen in that haven of peace called home. Even more than the automobile total. All this may sound gloomy, but there's a cheerful side to it, too. Because most of these home accidents can be prevented, if you're willing to give the matter your attention. Let me tell you what chemists are doing to increase safety in the home. Perhaps the most obvious example is the fire extinguisher that should hang in every home. DuPont does not make fire extinguishers. It is only one of many chemical companies that supply chemicals for them. But DuPont chemists start even farther back than that in dealing with the menace of fire, because they also make fire-retarding chemicals for treating wood and fabrics so as to make them flame-proof. After chemical treatment, such things will char, but won't support a flame, and therefore won't spread fire. Another important protection against fire is the precaution of using TriClean, non-inflammable fabric cleaner made by DuPont chemists. Of all the fatal home accidents, more than one-third are caused by falls. Men informed in accident prevention say, guard against falls in the home. They say, use safe stepladders. Keep stairways clear. I'm told that around 16% of these falls take place on stairs, and a lot of them on stair landings, or at the bottom of stairs where you're likely to step on a skiddy rug that slides out from under your feet. DuPont chemists have devised Rug Anchor, non-skid rug underlay, especially designed to make small rugs stay put. And speaking of stairs, have you ever seen porch steps that have sagged and broken down due to rotting of the timber? What an easy place to take a serious tumble. But chemistry is ready to protect you again by means of a product that makes wood rot-proof. Yes, all this is about safety in your home. But I've also heard an unusual story of safety in the DuPont Company home, in the plants and laboratories that employ thousands of people. By careful attention to accident prevention, the DuPont Company has kept down the frequency rate of major injuries to a remarkably low point, 86% less than American industry as a whole, according to latest available figures of the National Safety Council. Safety first, a good slogan, and a good companion to the DuPont pledge, better things for better living through chemistry.
This week, the Cavalcade of America will present the story of a great American actress, the beloved Marie Dressler. So until next week, then, at the same time, this is Thomas Chalmers saying good night and best wishes from DuPont.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This has been the Relic Radio Show. I hope you enjoyed it this week. Be back next week with more for this show, but more old-time radio tomorrow on Relic Radio. You can find all these shows at relicradio.com, including past episodes of this one and links to everything else we have going on. We also have a Christmas-themed website, relicradio.com/Christmas. If you're in the mood for some seasonal old-time radio, you can find it there. You can email me at relicradio@gmail.com. You can help support this and all the Relic Radio shows with your donations at relicradio.com as well. There's a donate button linked to there. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode of the Relic Radio Show.